God wants first place in our lives. You know, and when we talk and celebrate communion and think of what he did, it's not a whole lot to ask to, you know, to give that to him. And I was reading in one of the translations, actually the New Living Translation, it said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Not a lot of, you know, expectation there. You know, I mean, it's seek the kingdom. How do we do that? Well, we put him first. We ask for forgiveness. We live a righteous life. We try to do good. We try not to, not to be unfair and rude to people. You know, it's just, that's just pretty much what it's about, is just trying to be, I'm going to say, being a good person with the preference that he has forgiven us. Now, we're going to make mistakes, but we're not doomed if we make a mistake, because God will forgive us. So, and you know, and then, you know, and he says, you know, seek the kingdom and live righteously, and he'll take care of the rest. That's an awesome thought. So he wants to be first of. That's what he really wants to be. And I think that's why he's jealous. He's jealous. God's jealous for us because he wants us to be available for Jesus, because he wants Jesus to do stuff for us. Take care of those needs and take care of those wants. And so as I was reading this week and looking at some different things, and there's a leader's guide that comes with the booklet that you've got, there was three things that it said in there. And one of them it says is, we wander from God and seek idols. And people do. He's jealous. God's jealous for our love, and he wants to work in us. And Luke 10:27 was the key scripture that it gave. It said, the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And some people have a difficult time, I think, loving themselves. And somebody, you know, we're always something wrong with us, you know, our hair's falling out, you know, and somebody else's, you know, just, we're not, you know, we want to lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds, or we think somebody else looks better than we are. And unfortunately, we live in a society that thinks beauty is important. Outward beauty is important, failing to realize what inward beauty really is. So, you know, as we think about things tonight and we look at where we're going, we've seen that God's expectant. First week, we talked about God's dangerous. So tonight we're going to take a look at that idea that God is jealous. He has a jealous nature about him. And it's because he gave us that commandment to put him first. And sometimes, you know, for some people that becomes very hard. So I would ask you this question. What do you think are some examples of jealousy that we see in a daily life? What do you think are some of the things that we see that people become jealous about or jealous over? I have a list, if you don't, of what I come up with. Wealth. Status. Relationships. Somebody's always got a better relationship than what I've got. Somebody, you know, I mean, that's people think that. You know. I'm sorry, what? Happiness. I love what June said one day. She was walking out of church. She had her cane. I said, when are you going to get rid of that cane? She says, I don't know, but I'm happy. That was after the habit of happiness. And I've asked her since then. She said, I'm still happy. come up with the same thing. You know, people get jealous about people being promoted at work. And I took it. Cindy and I were living in somewhere, St. Louis. Got a call to, you know, for this promotion in California. And I should have never moved from California. But anyway, we took it, and some guy called and said, well, they offered that to me, and I didn't want to move to California. And I said, I'm glad. You know, it's fine with me. You know, we're going. And, you know, that didn't bother, you know, that didn't bother me. I don't think that it bothered him a whole lot. In leadership, some people are jealous of other people in leadership. I think we may see some of that in some of the debates that are going on. There's some jealousy among, you know, some people there. Some people think they got a better home than what someone else has. Someone's spouse may be better looking than mine. Now, I don't think anybody's better looking than Cindy. But, you know, somebody may think that. You may drive a better car than I drive. I'm thankful we drive a free car. Well, Cindy has to pay mileage, but I'm thankful she got a company car. You know? Or how about this one? You may pastor a bigger church than I do. I thought that was, you know, I mean, when I was sitting there thinking, yeah, but are you happy? You know, is that really what it's all about? Some modern day idols, and you mentioned some of them, our jobs, our possessions. Sometimes it's our children. We can make idols out of our children. So the question becomes is really, what do we focus on more than God? And then that tells us, are we living a righteous life? Now, we don't, you know, I'm not saying that you have to think of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and, you know, and you can't think about anything else. But what's behind it? What's behind that whole thing? So we're going to take a look at this video tonight entitled God is Jealous. And then we'll see what he has to say. Seen it. There's no popcorn. You think of somebody on their, you think of somebody on the restaurant table eating food.
Our hearts are off. To say it a little stronger, our hearts are just sometimes wrong. And at Christmas, it is so easy to see. We are literally making our list, checking it twice, and on that list is stuff we want other people to give to us. We could not have our hearts more out of order. We are getting ready for Christmas totally backwards. I mean, here we are, we're approaching Jesus' birthday, and our culture celebrates it by having us give each other gifts. If it's Jesus' birthday, shouldn't he be getting the gift? It's his birthday. He should be the one who's getting the presents. But the other side of the story is that the way we celebrate Christmas makes God jealous. God wants to be our first love. And anytime God is not our first love, God gets jealous. Now, jealousy is not a word we use very often for God. In fact, it probably makes us uncomfortable. In our world, jealousy communicates pettiness or envy. I'm jealous of the promotion my colleague received or of the new car in someone else's driveway. The strange thing, though, is that jealousy is a word used to describe God. Exodus 34:14 tells us, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God." Jealous is God's name. Deuteronomy 4:24 picks it up again when it tells us, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." What is going on here? Why is the Old Testament trying to tell us it uses jealousy as a word, even a name, for God? The answer? God gets jealous when we put God in second place. As soon as that happens, God begins to work in our lives to again become our first love. And while I believe that is the answer, to me, loving God first is an experience. We can read the word, and we should, but when we live it, the experience is so much more powerful. And as Christians in Advent, the experience of getting ready for Jesus' birthday should be something we not only read, we should also feel. So what does that look like? To me, the first question I ask when thinking of putting Jesus first is this: am I really available for Jesus to work in me? It's a dangerous question. Am I really available to Jesus being first in my life? And the challenge of the question is to go beyond the words and put Jesus first in a real and tangible way. If Christmas is Jesus' birthday and Advent is the time to get ready for it, if God is jealous when we put God second, then as a believer, I have to really challenge myself and ask, am I really willing to open my heart, have God look at it, and take action to make sure I love my God and my neighbor most? So here's a little thing I do. I give everyone at the loft, my church, my personal cell phone number. Everyone has it. And I want you to have it too. I want you to not only have the number, but I want you to call me, text me. And when Jesus gives you something to say, I want to know what it is, okay? So here it is. My number is 281-814-1198. That number again is 281-814-1198. I am praying to hear from you. I give my number out to the church because I want my love for Jesus and for people to come first. I want to be open to that all the time. As a pastor, I've been amazed at how many times people have told me that they wanted to say something to me, but they did not. People will see me at the grocery store and want to say hi, but then decide not to bother me. People will see me at the dry cleaner and think about asking a question that's on their mind, something that really bothers them, but then they say to themselves, but he's so busy. Time and time again, I've heard excuses as to why people would not say to me something the Spirit was nudging them to say. And at first, I laughed it off, thinking it was social politeness, but I don't think that anymore. When you feel a nudge to say hello, or I am praying for you, but then you don't, at that moment, something else has become your first love. At that moment, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, has become second. And the moment that happens, we become less, and God gets jealous. So to combat this, I've given my cell phone number away. I want to hear what people have on their minds, what God is doing in their lives. And it has been such a great blessing to me. When we are willing to ask God to become number one again in our hearts, God begins to move. And when that happens, it's great. So a story. I've been giving out my phone number to the loft for a little less than a year. And we've actually printed little magnets with my number on it. We give them away to everybody who joins the church. And granted, it's a little weird when you're in the gas station restroom and you see your number on the wall, but living for Jesus has its risks. A few months back, though, I stopped for buffalo wings, and it was the start of football season, and it's a tradition in my family to have buffalo wings on the opening night of the NFL season. So I stopped at my usual haunt, but unusually this time, there was a long, long line going out the door. I'd ordered online, like I always do, and paid for them in advance, but when I walked up, I could tell that the place was really busy, and the guy in the kitchen was stressed. Now, I need to tell you a little bit about him. This is a small, small place. You can touch one wall and then the other. Don't have to move. And he's the only employee there. Every time I've been there, though, he has been amazing at customer service. He's polite. He's thorough. He asks about you and your day. He gets the order right every single time, and he's got an awesome smile. I don't know if they serve wings in heaven, but if they do, I hope this guy is on the team because he's that good. This time, though, I walked in, saw the line, and saw that he was stressed, and there was a lot of drama in the kitchen. He was flinging bowls around, they were banging, and all had an attitude about him. He was slamming the doors. He was obviously frustrated. There was a line of people waiting for their food. The guy was under pressure, and it was showing. Finally, he just lost it. He stopped what he was doing, and he looked at us, and he said this. He said, "I make 54 bucks a day after taxes. 54 bucks a day. Which one of you wants to come back here and do this job for that?" Awkward. Highly, highly awkward. Silence. I looked out the window at the cars, and it was pretty safe to assume that all of us in there were making more than 54 bucks a day. But then he said this. He looked at us again, and he said, "Which one of you is Andy?" Like, oh no, not good. Not really wanting to be called out, you know, in a public place. I looked for a place to hide, but it wasn't there. But then he looked at me again. He said, "You ordered online. You paid for your wings in advance. They're in the bag on the corner of the counter. Take them and go." Whew, I did. I passed everybody in line thinking you all should be more tech savvy. You'd have your food and be gone. But then on the way home, Jesus began doing his thing. And he started talking to me in my car, and he said, "What are you going to do about what you just saw?" I said, "Dude, I am off duty." The answer is, "What are you going to do about that? You're the Savior of the world." And Jesus asked me again. He said, "What are you going to do about that?" I said, "Well, I'll go on the website and I'll fill out the customer service form." And so when I got home, I got my laptop out, and that's what I did. I filled out the form, complimented him, and hit send. But a little later after that, Jesus talked to me again. He said, "Is that enough?" Jesus said, "If you really loved him, that guy, you would do more. Right now, you love buffalo wings more than you love him or me." Ouch. Jesus was looking in my heart, and as usual, he was right. So we began to launch a plan. I couldn't go to the church and really ask them to help this buffalo wing guy out, so I went on Facebook, and I told the story, and I asked my friends, I said, "Would you all love on this guy?" I found out when he was working the next day, and I posted the time and the location and the place online, and I asked my friends on Facebook just to go and love on him. Go by, tell him that you're praying for him. I don't care, just say hi. Whatever it is you want to do, whatever's on your heart, just go and love on him. So the next day, I start getting these Facebook messages as my friends went and did this. Many of them dropped by and said hi, or they were praying for him. And then I got a message from someone that they brought him cupcakes. And then another person, a friend of mine, sent me a message to say they brought a balloon bouquet. Awesome. Another brought him a grocery store gift card. Not for much money, but, you know, it was the gesture that mattered. And then finally, at the end of the night, a Lofter, a church member, comes in and with his son to eat wings. And the church member asks the guy behind the counter, he goes, "How's your day been?" He tells him and says, "It's been amazing. Business has been great, off the charts. And it's like, I got cupcakes and balloons." And he said, "All because this pastor guy told some story about me." He said, "I'd love to thank him." And then the church member said, pulling out his cell phone, he looked at him and said, "Do you want his number?" He took his phone. He called me. We talked. He asked me to pray for him and for his wife and his kids, which I now do. And he now knows who I am. And every time I order wings from that place, he comes from behind the counter and he gives me a hug. For $10.81, I get wings, fries, a Coke, and a hug. That's a deal. And the story's ongoing. How it will end, I don't know. But I do know this, God was jealous for that to happen. When we love people more than we love stuff, God moves. And when we get our hearts right, love God and neighbor first, good things, genuinely good things, begin to happen. It may sound strange in Advent to say God is jealous, but after reading it, praying about it, trying to live it out, it just means God wants to be first, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
I do remember it. It's one of those things that you probably wouldn't forget. But Debbie went into think some tire discounters or somewhere one morning. She was backed out of her driveway and had a flat tire. Realized she, you know, thinks she's able to put enough air in it to get it down to this tire repair store. And she went in, and the guy was frazzled, to say the least. The computer was down. He'd called their corporate office, and they told him, in essence, deal with it. And so they had customers coming in. So Debbie decided to, you know, greet the customers, you know, for him. And what's that? Yes. Yes. Yeah, one finally showed up. And a couple customers came in, and one lady was sitting down, you know, and she was praying, you know, about what happened. And it's, I know we'll have an opportunity to share it again, you know, I mean, in its entirety. But it's just one of those things where you become, I guess, so saturated with somebody's need that you realize that you may be, you know, God in their life at that time. And there'll be a time that, you know, we may incorporate that again in the message of one of these days about that. But it's just an interesting story that, you know, that the lady was already there, you know, was there praying, and it kind of changed Debbie's whole perspective on, you know, on things. So it's an interesting thing. I guess one of the things that come to my mind is, how do we get the whole Christmas celebration, I don't want to say wrong or maybe distorted in our culture, that, you know, that we just, it's all about, you know, I think maybe what he said is giving or getting, or, you know, what's the next gift, you know. How do we get that so distorted, you think? I mean, I think we use the idea that, well, you know, the three wise men brought gifts. That's a little feeble. And we allow it to happen, you know. I mean, because we get caught up in it too. You know, I mean, there's one of the things that I remember from a friend of mine, Jeff Raker, who was pastor at Cornerstone for a while. They bought their kids three gifts. That's all they got, because that's what the wise men brought Jesus. That's a hint, Nikki. But he, you know, they still do that today. Their oldest daughter's married and they have a little boy that's probably 8-9 months old, and their middle daughter's getting married, you know, and I think she said 151 days. And John is in college, but they still get three gifts. They have not got to where it's, you know, they're the over commercialized ones. Do you think the way we celebrate Christmas makes God jealous? And I'm saying that from a Christian perspective, but... Yeah, I heard somebody, some
all day long, right?
Some child said, I can't remember exactly how the story went, but asked her, you know, something about praying before dinner. And she says something, you know, we always pray before dinner, and says, but we don't at grandma's house. And the little kid says, yeah, grandma's a good cook. So, you know, I don't think God is upset with us celebrating Christmas the way we do, as long as we keep it in perspective and seek Him. Because I don't think He wants us to be stingy with what we have, and I don't think that's the way God is at all. But, you know, I think we have to be cautious that we don't, you know, that we don't forget that. There's a scripture in Matthew, and this is from the Amplified Bible. It's Matthew 6:25, and then 32-33. It says, therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, which is perpetually uneasy or distracted, about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but they do not worry. For your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first and most importantly, seek Him. Strive after His kingdom and His righteousness. His righteousness is defined here as His way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. And all these things will be given to you also. I think that's interesting. So I think the application that we take a look at as we get ready, you know, for the third Sunday of Advent and the third week of Advent is maybe we ought to make a list of what's important to us. What are our priorities at this time of the year, and then maybe carry it on into next year? Remember, I think at this time, and I know it's, we talked a lot, and well, not a lot, but some about this, but you see people in need at Christmas. I walked in Kroger yesterday. Some lady called and wanted some help with a utility bill. So I told her, I said, we don't give cash, but I'll help, you know, we'll help you a little bit on your utility bill. And I walked in. Some guy said, you got any extra change? And I didn't have any, you know, I had $3. And I don't get much money. I don't get much allowance. But, you know, I thought everywhere you go, now hiring.
Amen.
You know, and I'm thinking, I've got a tip. Get a job. You know, but then I thought, maybe he's tried, maybe he just hasn't had, you know, had any luck. Maybe he hasn't had any success. We don't get near as many calls as we, you know, we used to get for help. We didn't, you know, and I don't know why that is. I'm sorry, what? Yeah. Well, I do ask people when they call, where do you work? And, well, you know, I may be wrong, but, you know, what do you do to help yourself? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And so it's, you know, it's interesting. Some people, you know, some people have an answer and some people don't. So, you know, who knows what, you know, what their perspective is. But I think that whole thing as we go looking through 2016 is that right relationship with God. If we don't get anything else out of really what being jealous is and what God's being jealous for us is, He wants us to be in a relationship with Him so He can do things for us. And I think that's what it's really all about. You know, see, I guess we just keep that, you know, keep that in mind as we look, you know, as we look toward the remaining part of this year. Greg? You know.